Don't shoot him. Don't shoot him. He has no weapon. He has no weapon. Don't shoot him. Don't shoot him. Don't shoot him. He didn't do anything. He doesn't have a gun. He has a TBI. He's not going to do anything to you guys. He just took his medicine. Keith, don't let them break the windows. Come on out the car. Keith, don't do it. Keith, get out the car. Keith, Keith, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Keith, 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 don't you do it. Did you shoot him? Did you shoot him? Did you shoot him? He better not be dead. He better not be dead. I know that much. I know that much. He better not be dead. I'm not gonna come near you. I'm gonna record though. I'm not coming near you. I'm gonna record though. He better be alive, cause I'm coming. You better be alive. How about that? Yes, we're over here at 9453 Lexington Court. These are the police officers that shot my husband, and he better live. He better live, cause he didn't do nothing to them. He good. Ain't nobody touch nobody, so they all good. I know he better live. I know he better live. How about that? I'm not coming to you guys, but he better live. He better live. Y'all hear this and you see this, right? He better live. He better live. I swear he better live. Yep. He better live. He better live. Where is... He better live, and I can't even leave the... I ain't going nowhere. I'm in the same spot. That's okay. Did y'all call the police? I mean, did y'all call an ambulance?
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. He better live.
He didn't live, Mike.
He didn't live. He didn't live, Mike. He better live. Wow. Man, I could just hear, man, just see anguish in her voice. Seeing your loved one in a distance, knowing, you could see that she was very calm, like she did not have any clue that it would end like it did. But then once it started to escalate, you could just hear the tension in her voice. And I just could imagine what was going through her head when he got out of the car. And, you know, they say that in some police departments, they have used spouses to help de-escalate the situation.
Right.
In other words, let her come over. Let her talk to him. Let her. This right here was just.
And it sounded like she was trying.
She was trying to talk to him.
Right.
Exactly.
She couldn't hear.
And they wouldn't let her come. They should have said, hold on. Okay, ma'am. You know, let's step back. You know, comply or die.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we're talking about today. Comply or die.
You know, I thought about like the progression of maybe like police encounters. It's like, got him. Grabbed him.
Yeah.
Nabbed him.
Yeah. Right.
Slammed him.
Right.
Shot him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Killed him.
Yeah.
Killed him.
Yeah.
Killed him. Killed him. Killed him.
I can only say we see, you know, the escalation of police brutality in our world today. And, you know, I am thankful now that there are more and more people that are getting this, mm-hmm. that can't look beyond it, that have tried to bury their heads in the sand. And you know what? It's in the sand. Mm-hmm. You know, they're burying their heads, DT, and before when they open up their eyes, they see it mm-hmm. because it's in the sand. You know, they trying to hide in their back rooms, mm-hmm. but it's in their back rooms. You see, they're trying to hide in their affluent areas, but it's in their affluent areas. Listen, you can't hide from this. This is an American problem, and people are dying, DT.
There was a website a long time ago when we were kids to get on if like you wanted to see some crazy, something like weird, like a frog get blown up, or there was a website called E-Bombs World. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No.
Richard, never heard of it? Yes, it was crazy. But anyway, this is the only place you could go to really see like really crazy videos. Mm. And you know, now it's like, man, you can't get away from it anywhere. Like you said, it's not a place you can go and not be exposed and not have to deal with it or not have to see it. So I feel like we live in an E-bombs world right now because yeah. it's on the forefront of everything right now.
It's not a place where you can hide from it, folks. And listen,
yeah, I don't know. I was in JCPenney mm-hmm. other than I heard two guys having a conversation, you know, about some things that were going on in the country, mm-hmm. racial issues. And the guy kind of like looked around, like seeing if anybody was like listening to their conversation. And then he stepped back and I could still hear him. You know, he thought he was whispering. He was mm-hmm. like, man, you know, it's even hard to talk about these type of things, you know, in public because, and then to me, it's like, I stopped really listening, but I understood what he was saying because even in the department store, mm-hmm. you know, people are talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
And none of us are able now to not have the conversation. Mm-hmm. So as private as he was trying to be, you know, it was still good to me that he was having that conversation with somebody else he worked with. And they were kind of bouncing that off each other. So
it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is our white brothers and sisters are simply saying no more, mm-hmm. are simply saying, we hear your cry, are simply saying, what can we do to change this problem in our country? Because listen, the groanings, the utterances, the screams, the horror has reached such a level that it's inescapable. Folks, he better live. We'll be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Recorder. This guy's still walking and following commands.
Not for taser, I think.
That's got a feeling that's about to happen.
That looks like a bad dude, too. Let me on something.
Which way are they facing?
Police one, they're facing westbound. I think he may have just been tasered.
Shots fired!
Ooh. 331, we have shots fired. We have one suspect down. We need to
I need to get this eastbound closed down if they could, because they're not going to be able to let anybody.
Okay. Police one, we're going to need to get eastbound 36th Street North. Actually, we're just going to need 36th Street North shut down.
Wow. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Looks like a big, bad dude there. From the helicopter.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Terrence Crutcher, a 40-year-old unarmed black man. After his car was found abandoned in the middle of the road, shot dead by Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby. Okay,
Was she scared?
She said that she has never been this scared in her life. Mm-hmm. Why in the hell is she in a police uniform? If it's not a job for people that are scared.
No, it's not.
You know, just like being a copyright editor is not a job for people that can't write and edit.
Or read, for that matter.
Thank you. It's not a job, DT, for somebody that is in fear. Now, I understand being cautious. I understand having a heightened awareness. Did you hear what her attorney came out and said? She had auditory exclusion.
She couldn't hear, of course.
Yeah, which happens to some officers in difficult situations where they just temporarily lose their hearing. Because the other officer told her, I have my taser out. And then she shot him. So
how many cases a year does this this?
I don't have a clue. I think it's insulting. Police. It's insulting to even interject such a defense that she did not hear that. But let's talk about, brother, this idea of the fear that officers have, and then this stereotypical way of looking at black men as being criminals. Mm. The fear.
Fear. I thought to myself, do they not still teach police officers how to fight? Like, you know, when you used to get training, they hand put to you hand. In a fist fight. Yeah, and it'd be like you get jumped and you'd be in these different scenarios where you have to really use your hands instead of some type of
lethal weapon,
lethal force, right? And, you know, I'm thinking like, man, okay, is the idea to take the guns away from them? Maybe they should have like a real powerful beanbag or something. It's like, but they can't go into a gunfight with knives, you know? It's like they get into some really serious and dangerous situations. When I hear them say stuff like, you know, he looks like a big bad dude. It's like, he's not even a human, you know? Like, I imagine her response being something like, seeing a bear for the first time, and you know, like, pow, I shot him.
Yeah.
And everybody would understand that because that's a bear.
Yeah.
And he would kill you, you know, if he got the opportunity. But I mean, a human being, you would understand he has reason and maybe you can talk to him and that there is another way to not have to pull your gun out and shoot him down dead for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless, you know, her inexperience with African-American communities, I'm sure it had a lot to do with that. You know, she probably had never had face-to-face. That probably been the closest she'd been to a big black man.
Well, they said she had just attended some black high school event. They kind of use it as justification of her not being racist.
That's kind of like, yeah. I got a black friend.
Yeah, exactly. I just attended a high school event at a black high school, so obviously I can't be racist. Her implicit biases, what she saw in him, even though this man was walking away, even though this man had his hands up, even if he was reaching toward the car, he's not reaching toward her. Comply or die. Where do we go from?
But there are no steps, man. Like, you know, we had talked about on our last few episodes. First, it was the Mike Brown thing, the hands up, don't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to be our go-to once we get in those situations. Put your hands up. Hey, don't shoot. I'm not trying to harm anybody. But now there are no steps because they've tried everything else. We've not been armed. We've put our hands up. We've complied. And we've still been killed.
So what makes an officer think that simply because you don't follow their commands in a tense and height situation where there's mistrust on both sides, that I have a license to kill you? Listen, Mr. Policeman, policewoman, if I'm afraid of you, I am acting out of fear, not rationality. I'm not going to follow your commands to the T. Why? Because I've seen what happens. People are dying. And for you to be, guess what? the one in charge, the one that's trained. You know what's so funny, DT? How can we sit up here and put more of the onus on citizens than we do police? Yeah. Well, if he just had a did this or she had just hit a did, why is it all on the citizen? And the cop has no reason. You know what? The cop is God. And we have to listen to God because God has a badge. But the problem is God is getting paid by us. God is supposed to serve us. Okay. Protect and what?
Serve.
Oh, okay. Let's back that up for a minute. Protect and what?
Serve.
Serve. Protect and serve. Serve and protect. Protect and serve. Okay. We are paying their salary. That wasn't protective. Protection he got. That well, he got served a death soup. Mm-hmm. That's what he got served. Okay, this is what we're seeing is ridiculous, and the outrage that we're seeing across this country is well deserved, DT. And the fear, if you are afraid, take off the badge, go home, get a desk job. Okay, sell, go work at the donut shop. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You don't sell cigarettes.
Sit outside and sell CDs. No, if you're black, you get killed for that. That's right. No, can't do that, man. Can't sell cigarettes. You get killed for that, too.
Don't sell cigarettes.
No, don't sell cigarettes. Not if you're black.
Don't sell cigarettes.
Don't do that. No, smoking kills, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
PSA. Yes. Don't sell cigarettes.
Folks.
Don't smoke cigarettes.
Listen, the fear. And now, as you said, I mean, I love that analogy. An animal. Mm-hmm. If you ran up on an animal, a dangerous animal, you're already in that mode of survival. Mm-hmm. I have to survive. Are black people being seen as animals? I mean, is a black male seen as an animal simply because of the skin that he is in? That he is that violent? He is that vile? That the very, his inability, he must have this inability to reason, to even comprehend the words that are coming out of a police officer's mouth to the point where he needs to be, as that person says, neutralized? Mm.
Ouch, man. You know, it's I think it's interesting the amount of exposure we're getting to these stories and these occurrences. I wonder what it's doing to our psyche.
Well, I
think desensitize is an understatement to what is going on right now. Or even hearing a story like this is just more of a formality than it is a real something to do about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll cry and we'll complain and make a raw, and then what? We'll wait until the next time it happens to get all flustered up again. I was thinking this is what, episode
54? 55. Double
so nickel. If I asked you, what do you think would be a realistic episode to get to before we would go at least 6 months without having to cover information like this?
1,000.
I mean, and even is that a realistic one?
You know, no.
I mean man. Yeah. Like, it's, come on. Like, yeah. Man, you know, like, yeah. And it's so crazy. It's like, you know, the world is just at odds for what? You know, you've been fooled by skin colors. Mm. You know, you've been tricked by skin tone. Mm. And what that really means, you know, when you really get to sit down and get to know people and be able to talk to somebody and have an open conversation, be able to share experiences, you know, that really help you develop a sense of understanding about somebody else. And now, because this white woman was small and, you know, afraid, and this black man was
terrified,
not even having an issue that involved police,
walking away,
and to be killed, man.
And what they say, she was manslaughter.
Oh, they gave her a sentence.
Yeah, she got arrested, charged her for First degree manslaughter, according to Richard.
First degree manslaughter.
How much is a man's life? Because see, you can't. The problem is you can't. When I look at that, it looks like murder to me. But the problem with the law is you cannot. I mean, in order to convict her on murder, you have to say that she actually got out the car to murder him, which would be hard to prove in a court of law. Do I think this woman got out of her car to gun him down and murder him? Well, when she got out, she drew her weapon right away. Okay, I can only talk by her actions. I can't get into her mind. Matter of fact, if I got into her mind, I'd probably be the one that's scared.
The guy in the helicopter didn't think she was going to shoot him. And she said, oh, he might have been tased. And then when she said, shots fired, she said,
She was scared.
I mean, like, what is even the procedure for using your taser first, you know?
Well, like, number one, what about rubber bullets, man?
Or something.
You know, what about, I mean, you have all these non-lethal ways of, the man wasn't attacking you. Shoot him in the leg. I mean, you shoot every day. You should be able to hit a target. Now, hold on a second. If you scared and you cannot hit a target, you shouldn't get out of the. What are you in the police force for anyway? You should be able to shoot a button off his shirt.
I wanted to make a difference, Mike.
You see what I'm saying? If you police officer, hey, listen, you should be able to give him a mohawk or something. You know what I'm saying?
right.
Just shoot right over his head or something. I mean, come on, man. This is ridiculous.
It's like the Wild West, man. It's like we live.
No. Let me tell you, in the Wild West. Everybody had guns. See, as a black man, you can't have a gun in this country. I had a friend of mine that said this, and we're going to go into a break here. But he said to me, he said, Mike, man, I'm thinking about getting a concealed weapon. I said, bro, don't do that. He said, yeah. I said, no. I said, you black. Did you forget that? Because Philando Castile, okay, they killing us without a gun. If you say you got a gun in your car, listen, make sure you got your insurance right. Okay. Make sure you got your last will and testament. You know, just make sure you got your house in order, because if you say you got a gun, you are dead. You are dead, man. Just say, can I make one last phone call and just let folks know I ain't coming home? Because if you got a gun, man, are you a few? Black folks do not get guns. Leave it alone. They're killing us without guns, man. I would love to get a concealed weapon, man, but never. Oh, come on, man. I can't even wear a do-rag.
What are the guns?
What the hell are you talking about? Get a gun. I can't even put a do-rag on and drive in my car.
You tell me I think you're some type of gangster.
Exactly. You tell me I get a gun. No, sir.
Oh, man. Oh, my God, man.
Listen. On that note, folks, hey, you know what I wanted to put out right quick is let me put this out right quick. There's an organization that's just starting. It's called White and Woke. White and Woke, W-O-K-E. And let me tell you, this is what they're about. It says here, we are a community of white people who understand that the structural racism buried in the fabric of our nation was created by us. We believe that our white privilege perpetrates the systemic problem. We take responsibility and stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters of color. Our purpose is to raise awareness among white people and create action to dismantle institutional racism and its corresponding white privilege. Join us as we continue to awaken and to show up White and Woke. Our website, whiteandwoke.org, coming soon. It will contain resources to raise awareness, how to take ownership, and show up to create change. Folks, you can follow them on Facebook at White and Woke. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbean, and the show is also available on blackinstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
This is Dr. Paul Ketchum, and I fully support One Mic, One Voice, and I recommend you do the same.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Y'all still tripping. They tripping off my do-rag statement. You know, I just
don't want anybody to mistake you for something that you're not. You're just trying to lay
bang, bango.
Just trying to lay the waves down. That was it, officer. Just trying to lay the waves down.
That's all I got. Is just my waves.
Lay the waves down. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah, I don't have my freedom, but I got my waves.
I'm sorry. Sorry to offend you.
Folks, we're talking about comply or die. Let me say this. I hear people all the time. Matter of fact, the other day, DT, I was going into work and, you know, the building that I work in, we have doormen that work in the building. You know, they open the door for folks to come in and so forth. And they're supposed to. Some of them just sit there and read the paper. But anyway,
not doing the job, he said. Okay.
And so anyway, this one that I talked to, he's an older guy and older white guy. He says, you know, he wanted to know, he said, Mike, what do you think about what happened in Tulsa? And I said, wow, I think she murdered him, you know. He said, well, it wouldn't have happened if he had just did what the officer told him to do. I said, so you honestly believe that if a person complies, that everything's going to be all right? He said, yeah, I think it would. And then I started naming off all these instances when it didn't happen. And see, he was speechless then. You have so many people out there, even on social media, that says he should have followed what the officer said.
Yeah.
Again, let's get back to the officer. Officer's God. He's God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he is the ultimate judge, it turns out to be now, about whether you live or die. And it's predicated on whether or not you obey him.
Yeah.
Isn't he talking to grown people? I mean, the reality.
The language they use.
Oh, come on, man.
My goodness.
It's nasty.
It'd make your grandma sad. My goodness. You'd be so ashamed of yourself the way they talk to
you. And it's not even language that de-escalates situations.
Right, exactly.
You see. They're supposed to be de-escalating the situation. But when they're yelling at you, cussing at you, calling out your name, I mean, okay, comply or die. Okay, Tamir Rice, right? 12-year-old young boy. 12-year-old boy. Y'all remember this? Cleveland, Tamir Rice. Don't ever forget these names. He paused, not by choice. Remember he had the BB gun? Somebody called up. Black kids got a gun pointed at people. Not shooting it. He not shooting a gun. He just pointed at people, they say. You saw the video. The police officer gets out. Similar to what happened in Tulsa. Gets out, but happens even quicker with a 12-year-old. Happens even quicker, DT. And listen, this police officer, okay, this is what he said when he shot 12-year-old Tamir Rice. Told investigators that the boy reached for a gun. He gave me no choice. He reached for the gun and there was nothing I could do. There was nothing I could do, said this officer. How foolish is that? There was nothing. There was no other choice in the world that he could have made than to kill this young black boy, this highly trained officer of the law. Okay.
He left him no choice. Huh?
No, there was nothing else.
I mean, all options have been expended.
This kid. I mean, it's, you know, we laugh, yeah, folks. Wow. We laugh because it is ridiculous to accept this as even being close to an explanation. This 12-year-old boy.
You know, when I was young, me and my cousin, we had cap guns. And we go everywhere with those.
They kill you now.
Acting like we were, you know, playing shootout, yeah, or whatever. And, you know, that is not even an option today for kids to enjoy it just as a game or for fun or whatever. It was recreation for us back then. But
a BB gun. They give kids BB guns, right?
I had a BB gun. My grandfather got me one when I was young.
For kids to use. But you got to be a certain type of kid.
Oh, you have to be 12 years old, and this trained officer wants us to believe that he had no, that Tamir Rice gave him no other choice. You see, it's
at
getting
12
back,
years old.
This is what we're getting back to. The onus is on the citizen, not on law enforcement. I couldn't discern that situation and go, whoa, whoa, hold on for a minute. Okay. All right. Maybe I need to call for backup. Maybe I need to protect myself. Maybe I need to get to the bottom of this. Maybe I need to negotiate with this boy. Maybe this boy has mental health issues. How dare you say you had no other option? He gave me no, he reached. He didn't say oh my God. He didn't say he shot at me. He didn't say he rushed at me. He didn't say I saw him pointing a gun at me. He said he reached and he had no other choice. And we accept this, folks, in our society. As you say, we cry, we boo-hoo, you know, we get upset, but we sit and we accept this as a reality, an acceptable reality of taking a 12-year-old boy's life.
I mean, and aside from color, you know, it's right and wrong, man. I mean,
I would be outraged if it was a 12-year-old white boy. He don't deserve to lose his life like that.
For nothing, man.
For nothing. And if it was a black cop that said he gave me no choice, how dare you? You have multiple choices. You choose to take the life of that young boy because you didn't value his life. Mm-hmm. Okay. Comply or die.
Is even a 12-year-old black child dangerous?
Statistically, we had Dr. Paul Ketchum on, mm-hmm, here, right? He talked about that. There is no difference between black and white teenagers when it comes to criminality. There is no significant difference. But if you ask the average person, they're going to tell you, oh, yeah, black teens, they're definitely more violent.
Oh, man, you wouldn't believe how dangerous they are.
They're dangerous. Look at them.
Look at them.
They run fast, too. They're quick. They're all Jesse Owenses.
Usain Bolt.
The
Oscar Grant.
Mr. Grant.
Comply or die, right?
Comply or die.
Okay, Oscar Grant, New Year's night. New Year's Day, I'm sorry, 2009. Police respond to a fight that broke out in a train station at the Bay Area Rapid Transit in San Francisco. Mr. Grant and some other riders were detained. Oscar Grant laying face down, handcuffed, was then shot in the back and died in the hospital the next morning. Grant was unarmed. Grant was already lying face down in handcuffs. Officer thought he was reaching for his taser.
Reaching. Did he comply?
I mean, at that point, he was face down. I mean, had the cuffs on. At that point, what could you do? He complied.
He complied.
And he died.
Okay. That was a very compelling movie, Fruitvale, right? He died. He complied. Hands behind his back, as you have said. And he died. Alton B. Sterling, 37. Okay. You know this guy, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, right? You know the story. He was just simply outside. The store owner called. He was pinned to the ground. They had him pinned to the ground. Okay. They didn't talk to him. They didn't try to find out what was going on. But it was a black guy, pinned him to the ground. And somebody yelled gun. Then they shot him. Mm-hmm. Killed him. Then they said he had a gun in his pocket. See, he's
in his pocket.
In his pocket, not in his hand.
So not visible.
Not visible.
Interesting.
Wasn't shooting. Wasn't pointing at the officers. Didn't shoot anybody. Whether he had the gun legally or not, the gun is in his pocket. You pin the guy down and you kill him. Okay. And you kill him. Okay. Wow.
You know, for the length of this show, we could say names of people that have, you know, died at the hands of police officers. And for the whole hour, we could spend just saying names.
We could probably do that for the next 50 episodes. But we got a twist on it, though. We got a twist coming up on it, though.
And what I'm saying is that, you know, we're talking about these cases and these individuals who have lost their lives for no reason at all. And we could spend an hour of this show just saying their names. Mm. Man, that's got to be telling you something. Something is wrong here.
Very wrong.
And we have got to fix this place and clean this place up. And
who's left? That's I mean, and you know, I mean, the idea of getting up in the morning, being black, and leaving your house while you're a working man. Let's just say that you're not getting up trying to sell drugs or getting up trying to do any. You a working man. For a working man to get up in the morning, put on his suit, get in his car, and be fearful that he's going to make it to his job alive?
And what if he's got a family? What stress does that put on them?
Mothers, get their kids ready to go to school. Don't know if this is going to be the last time they see their kids simply because of the skin that they're in. Now we're talking about the psychological wage of being black in this country, right? Okay. Basketball player gets out of practice 7-8 o'clock at night. He got to catch the bus home. Or maybe his partner, maybe they're in junior year and his partner got a car. And they all get in the car. They wonder whether we can even make it home or not. Because we've seen this has nothing to do with status or ability or talent or your standing in a community. You know, look what the cop did to Dr. Henry Louis Gates Jr. when he pulled up at his own house at Harvard. No, you don't live here. What do you mean I don't live here? It doesn't matter what your statue is. Because, folks, for some of these people, for analytical purposes, for some of these people, regardless of how much money you make, regardless of how much success you have in your life, what position you hold, regardless, for analytical purposes, for some of these people, at the end of the day, you're nothing more than a nigga. For analytical purposes. I don't want folks to get mad at me.
ER. I mean, because you know you got some listening, they're still holding on to the endearment. So yeah. When he's saying that, he's letting you know that they don't mean G-A. It's E-R on the end.
But, absolutely. Yeah, but, absolutely.
Man, that's so sad. So sad.
Folks, let's do this. We're gonna come back. We got a twist to this coming up. We going somewhere. So don't think we're just putting out these names, which they are worthy of being remembered. Don't get me wrong. But we have a twist on this because it's a double standard. Comply or die. We will be right back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of Black & Studios, The Black Box. Join myself and Elijah Bailey as we discover new ways to self-improve ourselves. Also, we interview podcasters and local entrepreneurs. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Black & Studios, and also come to our website, blackandstudios.com, where you can find all the podcasts I record here. And remember, it's Blackin.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool. Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Most of the people who are, what they say, crossing over supporting Mr. Trump are all older. I think they're over 60 for the most part.
Any African Americans?
Well, that's a smaller percentage of our population, and I don't think that many. I'm sure there were some, but I don't know if they were voting. I mean, I'm talking about voters.
What's your response to people who say that there is a just below the surface level of racism in America, and Donald Trump's candidacy has enabled that to just slip above the surface?
I don't think there was any racism until Obama got elected. That we never had problems like this. You know, I'm in the real estate industry. There's none. Now, you know, with the people with the guns and shooting up neighborhoods and not being responsible citizens, that's a big change. And I think that's the philosophy that Obama has perpetuated on America.
Pause it.
I think that's all his responsibility.
I mean, I think at the very least, we can all agree that Obama's philosophy has been shoot up people with guns and not get jobs.
I mean, when you're right, you're right. I mean, I've said since day one, I said at the DNC in 2004, there's not a blue America and a red America. There are the white devils, and there's the one and true race, and there's the one and true religion of Islam. Allahu Akbar, vote for John Kerry.
Okay, let's
she gets it.
Let's let her continue, though.
And if you're black and you haven't been successful in the last 50 years, it's your own fault.
But empirically speaking, if you're born with black skin in this country, you have a disadvantage over someone born with white skin.
I think you had a real advantage over it because you had all the advantages going to college. You had all of the advantages because they got into schools without the same grades as a white kid. So I think that when we look at the last 50 years, where are we and why? We have three generations of all still having unwed babies, kids that don't go through high school. I mean, when do they take responsibility for how they live? I think it's due time, and I think that's good that Mr. Trump is pointing that out.
All right, pause it for a second.
Never.
I just...
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. So I know you're sitting there and you're saying, why interject that into this discussion about comply or die? Because when that is the proverbial thinking of so many people in our country, that somehow, you know, as she put it, there was no racism before President Obama.
That's been his whole campaign, right? Racism, terrorism, shoot him up, bang, bang, baby. Obama style.
Obama style.
There are people who are like in leadership positions, though, that get to get in front of cameras and on the microphone and say what they think is the right thing to say at that time, or respond in a what we think is an intelligent way of responding. And it's like, man, this person is so off base. It's not even funny. Like, really, racism didn't exist before Obama came into office. Like,
so the slavery.
How many of your friends would think that?
None.
I mean, you got a lot of friends, Mike. I've got 1,000 friends.
Oh, you talking about on Facebook?
I know, just in general. Oh. If you just went to one of your.
Okay, let me just say this. Okay, there's a difference between Facebook friends and real friends. So if you talk about real friends, none. Okay. Black, white, Hispanic, none of them. You just going to dismiss slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, civil rights. You're just going to dismiss everything in American history and say, okay, in 2008, that's when racism started.
Yeah. And it's now it's out of control. It's like it's never been before. I can't believe it.
And just think about it's our last episode, right?
Numbers.
Two episodes before when we had Professor Smith on here, mm-hmm. we talked about redlining and mm-hmm. greenlining. We talked mm-hmm. about contract buying. We talked mm-hmm. about the real estate industry and how the federal government, local and state government plays such a pivotal role in creating the ghetto. She says she's a real estate agent.
Oh, yes.
And there is no racism before President Obama.
She must have only been selling $1 million homes.
She must have been with zero black clients.
She must
right?
have only been in the affluent community serving only whites.
So this is... So, not to cut you off.
$1 million homes. I couldn't get that out.
But this is to say, if this is the thinking, then the conversation that we're having today, you can't have that conversation with us. If you're thinking that racism doesn't exist in our country, you're thinking that it's a new phenomenon, if you're thinking that black people have had more advantages than anybody in this country, if you have a complete absence of historical reference. Matter of fact, I would go as far as this show and this conversation is not for you, because this is for those who understand the predicament in which we live today. We have to solve these problems. We can't sit up here and dismiss and say this never happened and what are black folks are dying. Native American Indians are dying at the hands of police greater than any other race in this country. We're not even talking about that. Hispanics are dying by the hands of police in this country. We're not even talking about that. This is a serious, serious issue. South Carolina, brother.
South Carolina, police officer who shot and killed Walter Scott after he turned and ran says an infamous video does not show the whole story of what happened on the morning of April 4th. And he says the truth will come out. But we know the story, right? We've seen this officer pretty much just shoot Walter Scott in the back. And then him trying to explain what was happening in that moment. His lawyer says, you know, just those 3 seconds of the video don't show everything. Okay, the officer was Michael Slager. Slager's lawyer says that Slager didn't know Scott was unarmed. He felt threatened and made a quick decision to shoot because he believed Scott might pull a gun and shoot him first.
So he didn't know that he was unarmed.
Right.
He was threatened by a man running away from him.
You remember that video, Mike?
I remember that video.
I remember the video, too.
I can look at it right. the man,
he said it didn't show everything that happened.
Well, I can tell you, like, dude was running like he was trying to win the 100 meeting. Okay, he was running. Okay, how can you be threatened? Come on, DT, help me out. Okay, you and Elijah and Richard, y'all in the ring and all that, and y'all kicking people upside the head and
you know what
and all that, and so you in the ring with somebody, and you bam 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 bam, you kick them, and they turn and they run to the other corner. Are you threatened by that?
No.
I mean, are you like, oh my God, you know, he's running to the other corner? That's like, you're like, what is wrong with him, right?
If we're sparring, even if somebody turns their back, we stop contact. You're not a threat to me anymore because you have your back turned. Why would I kick you in the back of your head, you know, or kick you in the back of your leg, or kick you in the back of your back, you know, just because you turned around and we were sparring? That's a common sense and respect in that realm. But at the same time, in life, what threat is somebody not facing you?
When a person is fleeing, that's almost surrendering. That's almost saying, I'm afraid. I'm running for my life. Mm-hmm. How can that be a provocation for shoot me in the back?
Okay.
But what we're seeing here is this idea of police officers. Remember when we started off our conversation on One Mic, One Voice, we talked about police officers being afraid. The difference is, police officers can be afraid and kill. Black people can be afraid and die. It's a difference. That's a big difference. We both are afraid. The problem is that police officers have the muscle and they have the wherewithal to go the full distance. And what I mean by that, the taking of someone's life. These are tough encounters, filled with human emotion, heightened awareness of survival. However, you don't kill because you are afraid. You kill because your life is in danger. You have a man on the ground with a gun in his pocket. Your life is not in danger. You have a 12-year-old boy that's in the park with a BB gun. You said he was reaching for the gun. Your life is not in danger. You have Walter Scott running away from you. Your life is not in danger. You have Philando Castile in the car that tells you, I have a weapon. Your life is not in danger. Your fear and your implicit biases toward what you think black people are is killers. Mm. You kill.
And it's that we always assume that the police officer is doing the right thing and he gets the nod because
he's God.
He could have been handling that situation the wrong way.
He gave me no other choice.
Yeah, I had no options left.
He was running away from me. I had no options.
I expended all of my police training tactics, every single one of them, went down the line.
He was a rather, you know, he was running like, you know, Ben Johnson. I had no choice but to shoot him because I couldn't catch up to him. So my response to him was to shoot him in the back until I neutralize the suspect. Folks, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Roxy Davis
and this is Deborah Burris
and we are
the Roxy by Design Show.
Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook and Twitter
and
blackandstudios.com. So thank you everyone for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
We love you.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. So all show long, we've been talking about comply or die. And I told you we had a twist because I want to talk just for a minute about what happens not when a black person has a gun in their pocket, BB gun, or when a black person appears to be a threat. I want to talk about what happens when a white person has a gun or appears to be a threat. Okay. In Tennessee, Julia Shields was firing randomly at cars and people as she drove by. She was actually in body armor. She reportedly held her gun out of her driver's side window as if it were a cigarette, even firing upon nearby cars at a stop sign, disabling the car's radiator. When police were called, she led them on a chase, during which she pointed her weapon at the pursuing officers. Despite the imminent danger, Shield was taken into custody without incident or injury. Wow. Okay. Because she's just randomly shooting people. DT, what do you think of that? Okay. Just randomly. She's just in the car, like, you know, drive-bys, you know.
Yeah, and that's the visual I was getting. You said she hung it out the car like a cigarette. Or something. But I don't know. I mean, she made it out alive, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No. She was arrested without incident.
Oh, without incident.
Without incident. Hmm. So, nothing.
Sounds beautiful.
You know, listen, you know, this happened in a Walmart. Two drunk white men walked into an Idaho Walmart, opened and loaded up two BB guns and started shooting randomly. According to local police, the two men had been making comments about how they were going to shoot up the store before the incident occurred. However, law enforcement agencies were able to set up a perimeter and apprehend the two men peacefully. So they set up a perimeter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two little drunk guys.
Two little drunk guys.
Hanging out at the Walmart.
And they were able.
Opened up the BB guns. Opened up the targets.
And you remember this John Crawford III, right? He was in a Walmart in Ohio. He was holding an air rifle and talking to his wife on the phone. Police didn't even give Crawford a chance to put down the rifle. They shot him and killed him. Remember somebody had called, said a guy had a gun? Okay. They ran in, saw a black guy, killed him. Okay.
No perimeter.
No perimeter. No negotiations whatsoever. Again, another BB gun. This Jesse DeFlero fired a BB gun at police when they were in the midst of conducting a traffic stop in New Hampshire. And they said a year before he was arrested for firing a BB gun at random drivers. Despite the aggressive behavior toward police, DeFlero was only charged on one count of reckless conduct. In contrast to Tamir Rice, of course, who was playing in the park with a gun, was instantly gunned down by. And get this one, okay? This is the Kalamazoo police never once shot at a 63-year-old man doing a 40-minute armed standoff in a Dairy Queen parking lot in Michigan. Even though Houseman is his name, was banishing, get this, an assault rifle and taunting police, calling them a gang and shouting out revolution. Police still managed to de-escalate the situation without firing, get this DT, a single shot. Wow.
Not one.
Not one single shot.
Not even a warning shot.
Not one single shot. And so, as we see here, and the list goes on and on. The white man points loaded gun at police and small children. 46-year-old Lance Tamayo survived an encounter, get this, DT, with San Diego SWAT officers in a local park. Despite waving a loaded 9mm pistol at police and children bystanders, he refused officers' orders to put down his weapon, eventually charging at them with his gun pointed. He was shot in the stomach as he rushed officers. After a 15-minute conversation between Tamayo and police on his cell phone, Tamayo agreed to surrender. Sentenced to 180 days in jail.
Shot him a text, huh?
All it's right. Amazing.
I give up.
See, the list goes on and on. 25-year-old Jed Fraser drove his truck off the road into a ditch in Pennsylvania while intoxicated. When officers responded, Fraser refused orders to unlock his door. After police attempted to force the door open, Fraser pointed a gun in their direction. Sounds familiar. If the brother did have a gun. The car window was broken and Fraser was eventually removed from the car and arrested without only minor injuries likely sustained in the crash. Okay, this is the last one I'm going to give you, folks. See, some of you ain't convinced. This is the last one I'm going to give you. Okay, Phoenix, Arizona. Firefighters went to an apartment of a 53-year-old Stephen Whitlock to conduct a welfare check. After receiving no answer when knocking on the door, firefighters prepared to leave when Whitlock suddenly opened the door, pointing a gun at the firefighters. Whitlock barricaded himself inside his apartment, and police engaged in an hour-long standoff with him before finally storming the apartment and taking Whitlock into custody.
Coming in.
You see, this is what I'm talking about here. When you say you have no other option, or he made me do this, he gave me no choice. What I just read to you were choices that every officer has. Choices were different with people that look different. Choices were different for white people than they were for black people. We have a serious, serious problem. And unless we start to address this, more and more black people will die at the hands of police officers and even at the hands of those quote unquote neighborhood watch people. George Zimmerman. Hmm.
So a Tulsa teacher's taking a shot at that, creating a space for her children in her classroom to start young and get an opportunity to have a space to have these type of conversations. Tulsa teachers set aside, you know, some fifth grade kids, gave them an opportunity to talk about the Terrence Crutcher shooting. And, you know, they support the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, she had the kids highlight words in the article that stood out to them, some being bad dude, motionless, fatally shot. Forever. She asked him, you know, what are your thoughts about this? You know, she had a wide range of responses. You know, they said, why did they have to kill him? Why were they afraid of him? Why does he have to live without a father? What student has lived without a father? What will she do at a father-daughter dance? Who'll walk her down the aisle? Why did no one help him after he was shot? Hasn't this happened before? Can we protest? As the questions rolled in, so did the tears. The students and the teachers shed tears in the class, being able to try and provide some comfort for each other for this hard time that they're all dealing with in Tulsa. And it's just like we're talking about today, is that there is no more hiding the world from even the children, from ourselves and from anybody else, because we all have to live here. We're all a part of it. We're all having to share these stories. And I think this teacher is doing a great job by being able to open up a space for her kids to have a conversation and to understand what is on their minds and what they perceive reality as, in spite of all of the shootings and the killings that we constantly hear about on the news and in the paper and everywhere else every day.
It's a sad commentary when we dehumanize as grown folk, but young folks humanized him. Mm-hmm. Talked about his daughter. Who's going to take her to father-daughter dances? Who's going to walk her down the aisle? as adults, we dehumanize, but these babies, they humanized him. This is a life. And we have to understand, as we continue to look at these issues and face these issues and struggle with these issues, the reality of race in our country and the battle to change the division and to get people to understand that we cannot move forward as a country with so much hatred and bigotry.
Hmm. Little girl says, one of the little girls in the group shares, she says, I wish white people could give us a chance. We can all come together and get along. We can all be united. And these are from 10 and 11 year old kids. Hmm.
Give us a chance. He better live. Hmm. History will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.